All right, shalom, everybody. All of our family, S4C family, Rishon Messianic Bible College family, thank you for joining us. I hope you saw last night's Bible study. I'm going to give you a little review on that before we get back to the book of Revelation, because they're about to experience Revelation and we're about to experience heaven. And so, who are there? People who don't want to believe the truth. People who want to not really follow Jesus Christ. But I'm thankful and blessed for all the people that have found Christ in this life, because it's not easy to find Jesus Amen. In this world. And if you have, be very thankful and be prayerful for people who haven't. Now, I'm going to say something to Pastor Ben, because I don't know why I got this wire here. Or what it's for.
Thank you, Pastor. That's one of them very important ones.
Could they hear me without their wire?
They could, but not like now.
Not like now, huh? Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to make a couple of announcements. Rishon Messianic Bible College, this is really our last session as Rishon Messianic Bible College. Next week, you will see Rishon Messianic Bible College, but it will be Hebrew Bible Club. So it will be, and I want to make another great announcement. I hope that she is listening now. Thank you for all the submissions for the T-shirt. But the obvious winner is Sandy Ford. And she has the best, she had the absolute best one. And when you see the T-shirt, I think everybody will be appreciative of what she put together. And so as a thank you and a gift to Sandy Ford, the printing company, we're going to make sure that she gets the first T-shirt. And then we'll see how many other people that we can get wearing our T-shirts. And sending a picture in with your T-shirt on. So we're going to get that out to everybody. Pastor Ben, how's it going on the certificates for graduation?
We should be fine.
Have you mailed any out?
I haven't mailed any out yet.
Can we start mailing them out?
Well, I got to get you to sign them first.
Okay. You got them all printed up?
Nope.
Nope?
But we'll be ready.
Okay. All right. You got to get those signed up. We got to get those out, because I like them to have them before we even do
Amen.
The class. So... we'll see what we can do on that, but we have to get those certificates out. I want it at least sitting on your mantle when you're raptured, so when people walk in, they'll go, something's peculiar. All the people with Rishon Messianic Bible College graduates are gone. And then they'll know that you knew about the rapture. Praise God. So let's get started praying.
Yeah.
And let's get started with... reading the Bible today, understanding the Bible today, because I'm going to say one thing before I pray. Maybe I should say it after I pray. I'm going to say it after I pray, because it might be too much flesh in me before. Let me calm down. Okay, so I don't know if you guys know the Shekinah prayer. I know it, but not really good. But what it says is, blessed are you, Lord God, King of the universe, and it says, for keeping us alive, taking care of us, and bringing us to this time. Okay, that's the Shekinah prayer. I'm going to learn it better. I don't like stumbling over Hebrew. But the prayer is like, thank you, God, for bringing us to this time, to this moment, to this day that we're living in, and that we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior right now. So, because I'm very thankful to be saved, and I'm seeing things in the world and people's stories and stuff, and it's not easy to be saved in this world. And once you get saved, then you got to watch out for all the snakes with new gospels and new age religions. It's so crazy. But I believe through the Holy Spirit is doing a good job of maintaining the church and keeping us focused on his coming. So let's pray us in, and we're going to get started. Bow your heads with me. Avanu Shabbat Shabbaim Yit Kadesh Yimcha. Tavob mehuteka yi asero sanaka. Be'aretzke asher ne'asa be'shamayim. Tilano hayom lechem hukenu. Uselach lanu et ashmitenu. Ke asher solechem anachnu le asher ashmilanu. Vial tevienu ledemasa. Keim hatzilanu min hara. Kilaha hamamlecha veha givora veha tiv eret leolame leolamim. Amen. Baruch Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Whew. So, last night I wanted to go over, I want to make sure that you receive this too. If you're on our email list, you need to have this study in your hand. It's called the Study of 70 and Last Generation, okay? Because what it's giving you is information that you can share with other people concerning why we're living in the last days, okay? Because some of the stuff that we went over last night was just showing that not only is 70 a very important number, and that it permeates throughout all of Scripture, because Adam died when he was 930, leaving 30 days before a full day. And that, I mean, even 70 days before a full day. And then that really began the whole thing of 70 being the very important. And then I think David lived till he was 70. And there were so many. I think Abraham's father, Terah, was 70 when he began to have Abraham and his other two brothers. So 70 is a very important number. Yes. In Scripture. The Babylonian captivity, 70 years. All of these prophecies about 70 years, and they all happen within the 70 years that God has planned. And then he gives the 70 times 7 prophecy in Daniel chapter 9, and that prophecy equals out to 490. Now, the thing I wanted to show, and if Pastor Ben would show the thing, show it over here, was, and I have to look this up because God wanted me to look up the numerical gematria for Genea, which means birth or nativity. And then the 490 years in the book of Daniel equals my nativity. And then also equals Babylon. I mean Bethlehem. So Bethlehem and my nativity, is it possible that God could make sure that the spelling of Bethlehem and the spelling of my nativity have the same numerical gematria of 490 to show you that the 70 sequence is very important to what? Bethlehem and his nativity, the 70, okay? So the count is about this sequence of 70. And then, of course, as you go through this study, you'll see that Christ made 2 70-year last generation prophecies in Matthew 23 and Matthew 24. The last one is about to come true. The other one came true in 70 AD. And then we went all the way, we're reviewing here, we went all the way back to Deuteronomy 29, and the scripture said, in the Dor HaAcharon. I was listening to a Hebrew study this morning, and the girl said, okay, we're going to study some words that you need to know. Acharon means last. And I went, I should record that and send it out to people. And you know what? I am going to do that. Because she's teaching, and here's somebody who lives in Israel who says, Acharon means last. Okay? Dor means generation. So in Deuteronomy 29, he says, in the Dor Acharon, the nation of Israel will be a dry desert with no vegetation growing there when the people return. And that's what it was. So he, in Deuteronomy 29, 22, he's telling you, when they come back in 1948, that will be the Dor Acharon, last generation. Then you get to Psalm, the 19th book, in the 48th chapter, 1948, 13th verse, which is love. And then you say, and he says, when you see this happening, what? 1948, the return of Israel, he says, the same word. That will be the Dor or Dor Acharon, the last generation, okay? So we have witnesses of the last generation, witnesses of Jesus making 70 years twice in Matthew 23 and 24. I'm just saying, be prepared. Love Jesus.
Yes.
What an awesome plan, because Satan has horrible plans for this world after we're gone. And we want to make sure that our brothers and sisters in Christ are ready to go. Praise God.
Yeah, thank God.
Hallelujah. Okay, now the Lord said I could say it since I prayed first. Someone was coming to me saying, Jonathan Kahn says Jesus was born at Passover in the spring. I'm listening to the Holy Spirit. Listen, Jonathan Kahn, I call him Jonathan the Kahn. It is not it bothers me that we make a truth out of a man's thoughts than make the truth out of scripture. We need to go back to scripture. If the scripture says that Jesus was born in spring, then let's all celebrate that Jesus was born in spring. But if the scriptures prove that he was born in tabernacles, then let us stick with what the scripture says, okay? So the whole big thing was that the rapture is about to happen because Jesus was born in the spring. That's not why the rapture is about to happen. The rapture is about to happen because Jesus Christ himself said, this generation will not pass until all these things happen.
Yeah.
Two will be in one place, one will be taken, and the other one left. That's why it's about to happen. Jesus was not born in the spring, okay? That means Mary then was only pregnant for 3 or 4 months.
Mm.
So you guys got to study and don't take from everybody all these different things. I know we're excited about the rapture, but let's stick to the scriptures.
Yes.
Let's stick to the Bible, okay? And I hope nobody was offended. If you're a Jonathan Kahn fan, I am not. I never have been because of teachings. And the incredible thing is, when he's teaching sometimes, I know and understand Hebrew and Hebrew culture. And then when he says something, I'm thinking like, okay, that's not right. Okay, that's not right. Okay, that's not right. But I realize if I say something, people that are fans are going to attack me, okay?
Yeah.
And so what do I do? Not correct it because it's not, because I don't want people to not like me. But I have to tell you, a lot of things that are taught, even when he's on the Jim Baker show and they're selling survival food kits,
okay.
You know, no Christian goes on Jim Baker's show to sell tribulation survival food camp kits, okay? There's things that happen that you got to know, okay, something ain't right here, okay?
Right.
So I'm just saying, let's stick to scripture. Let's not try to follow everybody's theory about what's going to happen. But Jesus had a theory, and he says before this generation ends, okay, that he's taking his church. So that's what we want to stick with, and that's where we want to go, okay?
Amen.
All right, let's continue. I hope you, because, you know, I lost people because I said, hey, Scotty Clark is teaching the satanic doctrine. And I was like, oh my goodness, he had a lot of fans. They all hate me now. But you got to tell people the truth.
Amen.
Praise God. All right, we're going to get back to the book of Revelation because I love this book and I've been going through it. And it is the only book in the Bible that God says, you know, if you read this book, I'll bless you. So it must be really important.
Yeah.
Right? It must be a real reason why most pastors stay away from it, because I think Satan don't want them in it, because if you don't read it, you won't. So a special blessing comes with the book, with the reading and the hearing of the book of Revelation.
Amen.
Last time we were in the book of Revelation, I think we got to Revelation chapter 4. Did we get to 4? We had just gotten through the seven churches, okay? We dispelled the myth that only the church of Philadelphia gets to go in the rapture.
Right.
That's biblically untrue. All seven churches, this is the understanding. All seven churches, they're not churches that exist. You understand? They're not churches that he said, write these letters and then go and deliver them to them.
Right.
Jesus is giving a revelation to John.
Yes.
And he's saying, these seven churches, I want you to write a letter to them. But those seven churches represent seven time cycles that will appear in the earth before the rapture. Okay. The church of Ephesus was the very first church that was formed when Jesus left. And that's Ephesus is my darling. Okay. Then you had other churches and they began to form all of these seven churches, and each one of them represents a time that occurred during history or future history at that time when he was writing. And then you had the church of Smyrna. By the time you got the church of Pergamos, you're not talking about Pergamos at that time. You're talking about a Pergamos that's coming.
Yes.
And that Pergamos was, because the word Pergamos means defiled mixed marriage, it was a marriage between Babylonian idol worship and Christianity because of Constantine.
Yes.
So Pergamos is Constantine. Now, don't say, well, John wrote that in 90 AD and Constantine didn't come to like 300 AD, you know. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm saying. He's writing about a future time period, a future time of a church that's going to appear. Yes. Okay. Then when you get the church of Thyatira and the church of Sardis, then you have this, the church of Sardis is the church of Reformation, Martin Luther, right? Of course that didn't exist right then. They didn't have anything to rebel against yet. There was only, everybody was preaching the gospel, but at the time of John, but now the Catholic Church has been formed. Now you need the church of Sardis, which is the church of Reformation, and you need people to do, to rebel against the Pergamos church, okay? So they rebelled against Catholic church, and then you had the church of Philadelphia that came, and this church had finally was getting it together, right? They got back, they got out of Catholicism, and they were back to really serving God, okay? Now, once that happened, then modern times hit us, and then the church of Laodicea came into existence, right? So then the church of Laodicea is the church that exists now. And what are the accusations against the church of Laodicea? You're rich. You say I'm rich. I've acquired wealth and I don't need anything. And is that the church that we live in now?
Yes.
Okay. We got pastors with Rolls Royces and planes and million-dollar homes and all of these things. And basically, they'll preach anything and they'll say anything up to Jesus is not the only way to the kingdom, to gay marriage is okay, but they'll say anything to keep the money.
Yep.
And they will preach, this new name it and claim it and all this.
Prosperity.
They make up everything, all this prosperity message and the seven mountains theory. We got to become wealthy. And then Jesus, but not till the church owns all the wealth and anything to cheat people out of money. Well, the church of Laodicea is the last church before the rapture.
Yeah.
And Jesus says, tell this church, you are poor, you are blind, and you are naked.
Yes.
And I'm trying, and I'm outside of the door of that church, and I'm knocking, waiting for somebody to open it and to have a real relationship with him, okay?
Yeah.
So, when we got to the book of the chapter 4, we were talking about the door, because Revelation has how many chapters? 22. Why? 22 Hebrew letters. So if Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalit, if Dalit is the fourth letter, then the fourth chapter should talk about what? Dalit, the door, right? So it opens that way. after I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And the voice I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet said to me, what? Come up here. Okay. Yeah. Speaking to John in the physical realm, he says to him, come up here. And listen, and it says, and I will show you what must take place. The famous Greek word metatauta, after these things, after the church. I want to show you what's going to happen after the church comes up here.
Yes.
I'm going to show you what's going to happen after that. Okay.
Yes.
So listen, you can hear John that he's now in heaven, because listen what he says. At once I was in the spirit, and there before me was the throne in heaven. So John is telling you, when he said come up here, John went up and he said, now I'm standing in heaven and there's a throne before me.
Yeah.
Okay. Now John wants you to know what he sees when he gets to heaven, okay? Because Jesus wants you to know that the seven candlesticks are now in heaven with John before the throne. Because if you know that the church is gone, when the door says, come up here, not only does John go, but now he gets to heaven and he says, oh my goodness, the seven candlesticks are here. And then what does Jesus say the seven candlesticks are in chapter 1? The seven candlesticks are the seven churches.
Yeah.
So now John is in heaven and everybody's in heaven, right? And we read through this, so I want to get to chapter 5. But we see it says in verse 5, there before the throne came lightning, rumblings, pearls of thunder. Before the throne was seven lampstands where seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. See those seven lamps are the seven spirits. The spirit of God is living in the church. Of course, the seven spirits of God are there because they are the ones that guided and lived inside of the church. Okay. Also before the throne was what looked like a sea of glass. Now, clear as crystal. Now, these seven churches are standing next to a sea of glass.
Yes.
Now, you only see the sea of glass in here at the beginning of the tribulation, and then you're going to see the sea of glass again at the end of the tribulation.
Yes.
Okay? And those that are on the sea of glass at the end of the tribulation just came out of the tribulation.
Yeah.
And that sea of glass is mingled with fire, and it says the people... those were the people that did not take the mark. And those were the people that did not bow to the beast.
Yeah.
Okay? So there's a beginning of the tribulation, you guys. Okay? Wow. You know why this is incredible to me? Because Satan has all these plans for the next 20 years for mankind to take us over and to build synthetic robots and to, you know, all these plans he's got that are going to be trash. I want to tell you guys something before I'm going to go to Revelation chapter 5, and we're going to continue there at chapter 5. We're going to go to Revelation chapter 5 because I realized I did read 4. Okay. But I want to tell you something. I was looking at this whole study of CERN, and a lot of people don't understand what happened in CERN. And if you understood what happened in CERN, and you know anything about CERN, this will make you very joyful, okay? CERN's original desire was to produce the God particle,
yeah.
Right? They wanted to produce the same power that created the heavens and the earth, okay? By using this collider, they could make it collide, and then from that, they were hoping that the God particle would appear, and then they could take from this God particle the ability to create, like heaven, how heaven and earth was created.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, when they did the collider, and it finally got to where that they could produce the God particle, they said they could only produce about ounces of it. Not a pound, ounces.
Ounces.
And it nearly burnt down the whole facility. It burnt through steel beams, ice that flows through the beams, because they knew they had to keep it cool, because once you hit it, the heat gets so much. So they got these steel beams in this pipe, and they do this colliding, but they produced the God particle, ounces of it, and it nearly burnt down their whole facility. So they had to stop and rebuild, and then they celebrated the opening of CERN again. But they said, this time, we don't want the God particle, we just want to open it. We want to look for dark matter.
Oh, yeah.
So now all they're interested in is opening a portal for dark matter. They don't want to mess with the God particle. Okay? In their brains, they should say to themselves this: if an ounce of God's power is that strong that it nearly burnt down the whole facility.
Okay. An ounce.
That's not even God. That's just an ounce of who he is. Okay? And so now they're trying to produce the dark matter, and they want to bring the dark matter into the physical realm, and they're using quantum computers and CERN trying to get dark matter to come into the physical realm. That's what people are going to experience during tribulation, because the inhabitants of the earth aren't supposed to be here. You understand? All right, here we go. If you are with me, I would like us to go to Revelation chapter 5. And I want us to understand this, because you'll understand the seals once you get here.
What verse, Pastor?
Verse 1. It says, then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides, sealed with seven seals. I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll. But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll and look inside. What was the scroll? If you want, okay, I think it's in Jeremiah chapter 31, and I don't have the scripture, and I usually do. But let me look down here at the bottom.
Pastor,
see if
Sandy,
yes.
Silo said it wasn't an ounce, it was a gram.
A gram. Is that right? Wow. Wow. Almost burned down the whole facility. So wow. That's okay. You got Pastor Ben snorting laughing. Okay. So anyway, I forget what chapter it is, but when a scroll is made, a scroll, I think it was in the book of Jeremiah, that they find a scroll, and Jesus and God tells him to take that scroll and put it away, because he's going to need it in a later day. OK, a scroll is a title deed. OK, so the title deed was the redeemer of heaven, of man and earth. OK, the redemption of all things had occurred. OK, and there was a title deed for that redemption, because remember, when Jesus came, he could not relieve you from your sin just by coming.
Right.
He had to pay a price for that. Okay? He could not redeem earth back to man freely. He had to pay a price for that.
Yeah.
But once he did, both man and creation had been redeemed.
Yeah.
And when John gets to heaven, he sees the scroll, and it has seven seals on it. But even in those days, you had only person that's allowed to open the seal would be the owner. And it was illegal to open a seal, because once you opened it and your name was not on that deed, you were liable to serious punishment.
Yes.
So John's in heaven and he sees this scroll because he's aware of it. This is a Jewish thing. And he says, oh, my God, there's nobody here that can open this scroll. And he wants to. But they say, hey, someone is worthy to open this scroll, because someone did pay the price. and someone has redeemed, okay? Mm-hmm. So it says, then one of the elders said to me, do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and the seven seals. Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven horns, like, watch this, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now this, someone says, see there, Jesus comes and takes the throne out of the person's hands who's sitting on the throne. Jesus, the Lamb, has a resurrected body.
Yes.
God is,
right.
But the resurrected body is God. You understand?
Yes.
So the Lamb, looking as if he was slain, is the Jesus that you're going to see when you get to the kingdom.
Amen.
Okay? But don't you get it twisted. That resurrected Jesus is God. Okay?
Amen.
So he takes it out of his throne, and he says, and when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints.
Yes.
And they sang a new song. Worthy. He says, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open the seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe, language, people, and nation. Look at that. Jesus, he paid for all of us, right?
Yes.
He says, you have made them to be a kingdom of priests. Wow, so we have a new job. So he said, be a kingdom of priests, a royal priesthood, to serve our God. And they will reign where? On the earth. So remember, our heaven trip is how long? 7 years and 6 months. When we come back, we're going to reign and rule with Jesus. Okay? Now, then it says, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 upon 10,000, they encircled the throne and the living creature and the elders. And in a loud voice, they sang, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory. And his bride that is here is also going to what? We are co-inheritors with Christ. Listen, the redemptive price, this is a great thing. You know, in California, if you get married and y'all buy a house, y'all bought a house.
Y'all.
All right? If you say you leave it, y'all got to split that stuff. You know why? Because what's yours is yours and what's mine is mine. That's the California rule, right? God had this rule way before them. When he marries, he's saying, you are a co-inheritor with the Son of God. You understand? In all things. So understand what you've come into. There's this new rap song. These guys said, when I met Jesus Christ, it felt like I hit the lotto. You did. You absolutely did, right? Here you go. Okay. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power. Okay, we read that verse 13. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Be praise, honor, and glory and power forever and ever. Wow. That's amazing. Because we know that everyone will bow down and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But here they are, everybody, even under the earth, are taking a moment to praise his name. So you don't have to praise him now.
Yeah, but you're
going to praise him. Okay? You're going to praise him, and you're going to bow down, and you're going to say, you are my Lord. You are the Savior. You are the Redeemer of all mankind and the earth and the universe. So you can do it now and be on his side, or you can do it later and not be on his side, but you're going to do it.
You're going to do it.
All right? Wow. It says, the four living creatures said, amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. Now we get to this beautiful part where he starts opening the seals.
Yeah.
I want you to understand the seals. The seals represent, these six seals represent the whole tribulation period. You understand?
Yeah.
These six seals aren't happening in the first half of the, he's telling you the whole tribulation story from the first seal to the sixth seal, and then the pause before he opens the seventh seal, okay? But this is the whole tribulation, okay?
Yeah.
So now I want you to understand the first seal is not opened until the church is gone. Where was John when he opened the seal?
In heaven.
Where was the seven lampstands when were in heaven? So nobody should be telling you that we're on the third seal or we're on the fifth seal. Because if the church is in the earth, that can happen because we're in heaven when he opens the first seal.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
So in, boy, that just messed up Baxter's CD collection thing. Because he says we're on the sixth seal. Okay, it says, I watched as the Lamb opened the first seal. Then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder, go. Now I'm saying go, or you can say come. It depends on which Greek word you decide to use because the word for go and come is the same in the Greek, okay? So he says, I always say go. And it says, I looked and there before me was a white horse and its rider held a bow. And he was given a crown. And he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. Listen to what we're saying here. There's a rider. He's on a white horse. Okay. And he has a bow. A tekiah, which is a covenant,
mm-hmm.
Okay?
Not a bow and arrow.
He has a tekiah, and he comes to present the tekiah, the covenant, to man, okay?
Uh-huh.
And he was given a crown. So now he's given the crown as being what? The king over the whole earth.
Yeah.
They give this guy a crown and make him king. Why? Because of the bow that he presented.
Mm-hmm.
He presented a covenant and they said, okay, you must be the Messiah. We're going to make you king.
Mm-hmm.
But he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. So now the Antichrist is in the world. Tribulation has begun. When the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard a second living creature say, go. I'm saying go. If yours says come, I choose to say go. Because he's releasing this, okay?
Yeah.
Then another horse came out, a fiery red one. The rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make men slay each other. To him was given a large sword. Now, I believe with Hal Lindsey, and I believe that's the one who originally came with this understanding, is that this is the middle of the tribulation. The second seal is the middle of the tribulation. Why did he say that? Because it said he takes peace from the earth. The bow presented peace to the earth, but the second seal takes peace from the earth, and it says it causes men to start slaying each other. So now we got full-fledged war going on. So the second seal and I'm going to agree with Hal Lindsey that the second seal is the 3.5 years. Okay, when the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Go!" And I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a day's wage, and 3 quarts of barley for a day's wage, and do not damage the oil or the wine." Haven't studied that, but I need to find out more about that scripture. But now we know that famine is full-fledged in the world, okay? And then in verse 7, when the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Go!" And I looked, and there before me was a pale horse, and its rider's name was Death and Hades. And following close behind him, they were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, plagues, and with the wild beast of the earth. Wow. And so now you're in the middle of this, right? When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar, right, the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God. They're not church members. Church is already in heaven. The church is on a honeymoon.
Right.
Okay. These are people who are being slain during the tribulation for what? For the word of God. That means some people have waken up. They have like, "Oh my God, Jesus is true." When the rapture happens, a lot of people are going to go,
"Yep.
Oh my God." That's why I can't wait for the rapture, because there'll be no more guessing by evil people. You know what I mean? There'll be no more lukewarm Christianity.
Nope.
Because now you're going to have to understand the truth that the church has been raptured. The Bible is true. Okay.
Amen.
And then we say here, where are we at here? It says, when they opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. These are the people that get killed during the tribulation are called the faithful.
Yes.
Because they maintain their testimony until death. Okay? So it says, they called out in a loud voice, "How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" The inhabitants, remember that word I looked up for you guys?
Yeah.
It is a compound word, right?
Mm-hmm.
The first part means those who have been kicked out and who have been cast down. And the other part is dwellers. So these right. inhabitants are not human. You understand?
Right.
Until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood. Then each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and brothers who were killed as they were had been completed. So they're waiting for the completion of the slaughter of human beings on the earth who are holding on to the testimony of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Wow. Verse 12. I watched as he opened the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat's hair, and the whole moon turned blood to blood red. And the stars in the sky fell to the earth as late figs drop from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. And listen to this, you guys. This is the end of the tribulation. Then the sky receded like a scroll. Do you hear that? The sky rolled back like a scroll. Okay? Remember, the sky is a tallit that covers the world so that you can't see into the heavens, because it would scare the heebie-bejeebies out of you. Now look, I don't want you to hold that, just this scripture. You can go to Isaiah chapter 34, verse 4, or Isaiah chapter 44, verse 24, and it'll all tell you that one of these days, the sky is going to recede back like a scroll, and the world's going to see the presence of God. Now, listen what they say. Okay, it says, the sky receded like a scroll, rolling back, and every mountain, island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth, the prince, the generals, the rich man and the mighty, and every slave and every free man hid in caves and among the rocks of the mountains. They called to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us, hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne." They could see Jesus. And from the wrath of the little bitty lamb. He's not a lamb anymore, right? But that's what it's crazy that they say, and to and hide us, and it says, and from the wrath of the lamb. You know, I've seen lambs before. There's no, you don't have to be scared of a lamb.
Right.
But he says, hide us from the wrath of the lamb. That's Jesus Christ, who's coming now, what? As the Lion of Judah. It says, for the great day of their wrath has come. Who can stand? Okay, how much time we got, Pastor Ben?
Pastor, we have 10 minutes.
Okay. Now, that's Jesus Christ coming back in full power and wrath. Okay, that's the end of the tribulation. Verse 7 now shows you heaven. Okay, because Jesus wants to show you what's going on in heaven, okay? It says, after this, I saw, in chapter 7, I saw angels standing at the four corners of the earth, okay? You got angels standing at the four corners of the earth. Jesus is about to come back. He's displayed his wrath, okay? They're holding back the four winds of the earth to prevent the wind from blowing on the land or the sea or any tree. Then I saw another angel coming up from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he called out in a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm the land and the sea. Do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we put a seal on the forehead of the servants of God. Mm-hmm. Right? So don't bring any wrath right now till we seal these 144,000. Then I heard the number of those who were sealed, and it was 144,000. So it gives you all the tribes. Okay. So if you're part of the 144,000, you say, then you got to just tell me what tribe you're from. Okay. So in verse 9, it says, after this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne in front of the Lamb. And they were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Yeah. Where did all these people come from? Because that's what this guy is about to ask him. Who are these people and where did they come from? Because the church is already here.
Right.
Who are these people? Let's continue reading. So the 144,000 goes up as a first fruit offering. We'll read that again once when we get to Revelation chapter 14. After the 144,000 go up as a first fruit offering, then it says, now we see a whole multitude of people in heaven, and they're given white robes. Yeah. They've survived tribulation.
Woo.
It says a multitude of them. Okay? So pray for your, you say, oh, my they're lost, they'll never make it. No, you pray for them, okay? Because a lot of people hold on to their testimony in during the tribulation and still end up in heaven.
Amen.
Okay? It says, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And it says, and the angel, verse 11, the angel so we're standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell down on their face before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen, praise and glory, wisdom, thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Now, this is the end of the tribulation. We're just gathering in heaven for what purpose? Because we're about to all come back.
All right.
Okay. Because when he returns, he's coming with everybody. Now watch. It says, then one of the elders asked, these in white robes, who are they and where did they come from? And I answered, sir, you know. And he said, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God to serve him day and night in the temple. Wow. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Why were they hungry?
During tribulation.
Man, bread, what? A quart of wheat for a whole day's wage? Never will they hunger. Never will they thirst. This is talking about a physical thirst. So it was hard to get the sustenance that they needed while they were on the earth. Are they going to be protected from God's wrath when the wrath hits the earth? No. So listen what it says. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. So they survived that.
Yeah.
For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes for all who have survived the tribulation. There's two ways to get to heaven, you guys. Okay? You can get there on the first trip.
The A-train.
Okay? We say the A-train consists of no hunger, no thirst, and no scorching heat. Okay? No running from the Antichrist and his minions.
No marks.
No marks that people try to get me to put in my hand. Because remember, the mark of the beast consists of a Nephilim gene,
yes,
DNA, that will permeate through your body,
yes,
and will nullify you from ever having salvation, because, yep, now you don't have a DNA that can be raptured.
Amen.
Okay? So, those days are coming upon the earth, okay? When we read chapter 8 in the Rashan, in the Bible club next week, in the Hebrew Bible club next week, we're going to continue on chapter 8. What I want to show you is the return of Christ, because remember in 6 was the end of the seals. In 7 was the first fruit going up to heaven, the 144,000, then the appearance of all those who had been saved during the tribulation in heaven receiving white robes, okay? Then in 8, you know what you get to see? You get to see Christ and the return of Christ to the earth as he said he would do it. And guess what time it is? In chapter 8, you're going to see them performing in heaven a Yom Kippur service.
Yes.
When is Jesus coming back? Yom Kippur. When did Moses come back down from the mountain? Yom Kippur. Okay, Jesus is going to complete this last typology in these last feast days.
Yes.
So the 144,000 going up is what? The rapture that happens at the end of the tribulation.
Yes.
Okay? The rest of them going up in heaven are those who have been killed. Okay, now you have everybody's in heaven. And now in chapter 8, what you're going to see is a Yom Kippur service.
Yeah.
You're going to see the trumpets, okay? And you're going to see the incense, because at Yom Kippur they got to bring out the incense,
yes,
and they got to throw them on the altar, because once you throw them on the altar, then now it's going to create a cloud, and then Jesus is going to get on that cloud, and he's going to come back to the earth and destroy his enemies, and then and the rescue of the nation of Israel.
Yeah.
So understand, the book of Revelation is very important because you're understanding God's plan for us as believers, okay? Yeah. We want to leave on the first trip, okay? Can you make it? The Bible says a lot of people are going to make it, but I'm stressed enough for little things. I don't need that type of stress. You know, I want to just love the Lord, live in obedience, live in repentance, and go on the first trip. Hallelujah. So let's pray out. I want to once again congratulate Sandy Ford. Yay! Yay! Who is the winner, and I want to thank you. It is a beautiful design for our Hebrew Bible Club. I'm sorry that we're only going to get to wear it for about a month or less. And I don't know if we're going to be able to take it with us, but somebody will find it and they'll know that person left. Okay, so let's pray out. Thank you guys for joining us today. And we're going to get the certificates out.
Yeah.
I hope you have all the addresses and stuff, huh?
I got everything.
Okay, so he has all your addresses. We're going to have to start getting those certificates out. If you need any help with that, let me know, Pastor Ben. But I don't know how I could help you. You're the genius.
Then we in trouble.
Yeah.
If I'm smart, we'll
you
be
are.
In trouble.
Well, when it comes, let me tell you, when it comes to getting stuff done like that, Pastor Ben is the man. You don't want me sending it to you. All right. Praise God. Let's pray out. Where's my book of prayers? Because I want to say, Yivarekaka Adonai v'yishmarecha, Yair Adonai panavilecha v'chunecha, Ye'asim Adonai panavilecha, V'yasim l'kai shalom. And I love that. And it says, Moses, when you see my people, say this to them, the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom, everybody. Leitriot, Beshavua Chaba. And we'll get into Revelation chapter 8.